In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. She decided to enter the Thai Deans, congregation founded by St. Joseph Benedict Cotolengo for the converts. She was received in 1927, and in this religious family she remained until August 19, 1928. She entered the little house happily, but her health was broken, and when she left it, she left a good memory. Some testified that she was generous, worked voluntarily, spoke little, was simple, and usually always smiled. During recess, she taught them the songs that she had learned during her stay with the Salesians. One of them stated, "When she was engaged in non-absorbent jobs, such as preparing vegetables, she was caught smiling as if she was communicating with someone not from this world." Venerable Consolata assures, "With the Thai Deen nuns, my love for the Virgin Mary increased, not through images, but by looking for her alive in heaven. And the Virgin Mary helped me to tread and defeat the tempting enemy." She left the Tidiness Institute on August 26, 1928. She wanted to enter an order of penance and austerity. The superior of the Good Shepherd of Angers, Sister Maria of St. Clementina, wrote to the Capuchin Monastery of Borgo Po in Turin, and they accepted her after receiving good reports from the Tidines. Venerable Consolata entered the Capuchins on April 17, 1929, although she confessed that there was nothing that made her feel attracted to the Capuchins. Mother Superior was a simple, humble, and charitable soul. She took me to my cell. At that time, there were only two novices and one postulant. They told me that they had prayed to St. Joseph for my admission. In the novitiate, I found that the sisters were doing work on relics of St. John Bosco. I gladly offered my help. When Venerable Consolata entered the Capuchins, she weighed 154 pounds or 70 kilograms. She was tall in stature, with delicate lines, with her face illuminated by a soft smile. She was orderly and knew how to be elegant, but only to honor the Sacred Heart, especially on the first Friday of the month when she wore the best habit and the most beautiful veil, while normally her habit was worn and left for other sisters. On May 8, 1929, at noon, we are going to pray to the Virgin of the Rosary of Pompeii in the choir. A phrase impresses me. Mary is the mediator of all graces. This phrase opens my heart to hope, and I pray with all possible fervor. My eyes are closed, and I see St. Joseph descending from heaven with the divine child Jesus. Then I hear speaking in my heart. It seems to be the voice of my guardian angel. At 8 in the evening, I am in the cell. The Mother Superior comes to give me the blessing and to do the novena with me. It was the last day of the novena to St. Thérèse of Lisieux, also known as St. Thérèse of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face. In an instant, I have the impression that an invisible being, perhaps St. Thérèse of Lisieux, is by my side. I kneel and strive to make an act of sorrow for all the sins committed, and the divine light begins to illuminate me. From where the light comes, I see Jesus. Did I see him with the eyes of the body or the eyes of the soul? I do not know. I know it was Jesus in a red robe. He advances towards me, and when he is near, he responds to my repentance with absolution, and then he makes me renew my offering as a victim of love and takes possession of my poor heart. I did not see him anymore and felt an immense joy. Jesus had forgiven me. I have asked him two things. Do with me what you want, but promise me that you will not leave me for a moment and that you will deprive me of the freedom to dislike you." Charity shone in Consolata's soul, such that she always tried to love, serve, and make others happy. Venerable Consolata Patron tells us, "I was still an applicant, and one night there was a knock on my door. A sister told me, 'Piorina, do me charity. In the corridor there is a beetle, and I am afraid that it will enter my cell and I cannot sleep. Come kill it.' I followed Sister Gertrudis, and after killing the insect, I went back to my cell to sleep. But I couldn't help but smile and say, 'Jesus, for a beetle.' Then Jesus enlightened me about my future. 'I will make you a saint of the people. They will turn to you without fear of disturbing you, even by a beetle. You will be the saint of all, to whom everyone will dare to go for anything.'" One day around Christmas 1934, Venerable Consolata realized that the sister who was next to her in the dining room had eaten little because she was sad. Venerable Consolata broke a tangerine and gave her half of it. The sister said no, but in the end, the sister accepted and ate the half tangerine. Venerable Consolata cut another one in half and gave it to another sister. No, and the other sister in the end accepted so as not to attract the attention of the others. For the third time, Venerable Consolata did the same, and the other sister started laughing. That was precisely what Venerable Consolata wanted, because in that way she dissipated the sadness of her sisters. Sister Gertrudis fell ill with bronchopneumonia. At the beginning of 1943, her conditions were desperate, and the sister asked the Mother Superior to ask Venerable Consolata to take care of her as a night nurse. How to reject this request? Sister Consolata always said yes to everyone. For 20 days and 20 nights, Sister Consolata attended her and had to leave her midday break to attend Sister Gertrudis. Sister Gertrudis died on January 17th, and Venerable Consolata wrote, "That night, taking care of her, it seemed that everything was spinning and I couldn't stand up. I began to feel the consequences of those 20 days and 20 nights without rest. I prayed to the Virgin Mary, and since the sick woman was asleep, I tried to rest a little. By 5 o'clock, I was in a normal state, and all day, when I took care of Sister Gertrudis, she was smiling softly at me. Sister Gertrudis died in my arms." On September 29, 1935, Venerable Consolata was thinking that in the prisons there were 200,000 prisoners for political ideas. She exclaimed, "My God, there are 200,000 hearts filled with hatred, suffering from despair, without a ray of hope between four walls. What a terrible pain. You can only comfort them. You can only give them peace. Jesus, after my death, let me be the good sister, the Consolata of all. Let me descend into prisons to console them and bring them closer to you. Let me comfort everyone who is a prisoner and suffers." And Jesus replied, "Yes, Consolata, I promise you. After your death, I will let you go down to prisons. Write it." On October 2, 1935, Italy's war against Ethiopia began. Venerable Consolata wrote, "I would like to fly to the battlefields as a sister of charity, but I would also like to be a military chaplain to absolve and thus save eternally the poor soldiers who die. But if I cannot be with the soldiers, I can pray and offer myself for them. O Jesus, accept my offer so that no soldier dies without your forgiveness." Jesus replied, "Yes, I accepted you as a victim for every soldier and for all soldiers." It is also interesting to note that always, during her cloistered life, Venerable Consolata Patrone had kept in mind to supply for the evil caused in the church by Martin Luther and John Calvin, who helped the Protestant Reformation. On October 20, 1934, Jesus told Venerable Consolata Patrone, "Think how many souls Martin Luther dragged in his mistakes. The number of Protestants are millions. Remember your desire to do as much good as Martin Luther and John Calvin did evil." On September 18, 1936, our Lord Jesus Christ told Venerable Consolata Patrone, "You will not only be Consolata of all for the centuries, but also Consolation of the Church in exchange for the pains that I suffered for Martin Luther and John Calvin." "You are a Consolata, and you must be the comforter of all, of children and the elderly, of the innocent and of sinners." September 18, 1935. "Consolata, I'll give you a new name. You will be Consolata of Jesus. Yes, before being the comforter of all, you will be the comforter of the heart of Jesus, for your lost consecrated brothers and sisters, so that they may return to the love. All that is mine is yours. The heart of Jesus is of Consolata, as the heart of Consolata is of Jesus. Nobody will be able to separate us. We will be one, you and me and I in you, as I am in the Father and the Father is in me." On September 6, 1936, Jesus tells Venerable Consolata, "I will give you the victory over communism in Spain, but do your best to give me the incessant act of love. The act of love contains all your purposes, and with that Jesus will give you victory in Spain. And thus he will tell the world how much he likes the incessant act of love." On March 17, 1941, Venerable Consolata wrote to Father Sales, "If one day you speak to the Holy Father, tell him that Sister Consolata has loved him so much during her life that she was happy to be able to die, because she knew that her death should bring comfort to his paternal heart. Upon reaching paradise, rather than being the consoler of the whole world, I will be the comforter of the Holy Father. On September 26, 1941, Venerable Consolata wrote, "The Virgin Mary has inspired me to offer myself as a victim for the Holy Father, Pope Venerable Pius XII. Tomorrow, during Mass and Communion, I will offer myself as a victim for him." At the beginning of July 1935, a father of a family recommended that the Capuchins pray for his daughter Clelia, who in the workshop was exposed to the danger of falling into impurity. The Mother Superior commissioned Venerable Consolata Patrone to write to her. Sister Consolata wrote to her and sent her a picture of the heart of Jesus. A few days later, she received Clelia's response, thanking her for the letter and her painting and telling her, "I will follow your advice and I will be a good daughter. I promise that I will always put a flower to the heart of Jesus, and on Fridays I will have a lit candle to help me be good, wise, and hardworking." 2 months later, Venerable Consolata Patrone asked her to observe the first 9 Fridays of the month and to become an apostle of the heart of Jesus. Venerable Consolata also prayed a lot for the brother of her father's first wife. He was an old man in his 70s who never confessed or received communion. He was a good shoemaker who lived helping his mother and gave his savings to help his sisters and his nephews. On December 13, 1935, Jesus said to Consolata, "In my name, ask the mother for 2 little books of the great promise of First Fridays, one for Nicholas and one for your Uncle Felix. That book will be their salvation. I will act." And they certainly saw Felix, the brother of her father's first wife, who confessed and received communion in Consolata's sanctuary. Afterwards, he was faithful to the exercises of piety, and every afternoon he went to the blessing of the Blessed Sacrament, whereas before he never stepped in church. He died in the peace of God on June 18, 1941. She also achieved the conversion of Nino, future husband of her sister Amalia. Venerable Consolata says, "He confessed and received communion in our church." Another conquest was that of her brother Carlos. One day, while we were in business, he came to our house. Teresa ran to hug him, but he rejected her, saying, "Don't kiss me, I'm sick." He was 23 years old. As I knew that he was far from God, I told him, "You must not die without sacraments," and I prayed a lot for him. At the beginning of July 1919, Carlos was admitted to the War Tuberculosis Sanatorium in Eremo di Lanzo. Little by little, he was dying, and 3 times he had rejected the sacraments. "Jesus made me feel like he only had 1 week left to live. I wrote it to him in a letter. It was Sunday afternoon. The following Sunday, Carlos was very ill. I understood that he would die that night, and with tears and prayers, I prayed for him. The next morning, they gave me a letter from the sanatorium. Carlos had died, and according to the priest who attended him, he was comforted with the last sacraments." Venerable Consolata tells us, "Jesus revealed to me his intimate sufferings for the infidelity of consecrated souls on November 9, 1934. Jesus told me, 'Look at the betrayal of the consecrated sacrilegious, that is, of your brothers and sisters. Except for some exceptions, it is for sins against purity.' October 26, 1935." On October 14, 1935, Consolata was praying before the sacramental Jesus, solemnly exposed, and she heard Jesus. "Consolata, do you know the pain it causes to my heart when a voice makes me descend into impure hands, into sacrilegious hearts? I am infinite purity, and I am obliged to descend into impure hands and unclean hearts in the Mass." On July 31, 1936, Jesus insisted, "Look, Consolata, go in search of each consecrated brother and sister and bring them to me, and I will forgive them for the blood that I have shed for all." Jesus entrusted to Consolata the souls of all the consecrated brothers and sisters who had transgressed and seriously offended God. Jesus also told her, "From today until your last breath, consecrate every prayer and sacrifice to the good of your consecrated brothers and sisters. Do everything for them. For the other intentions, I will think," Jesus said. "Pray, suffer, atone, make reparation for your brothers and sisters who have seriously sinned until the end of time. Carry them in your prayer at Holy Mass. Immerse them in my divine blood. Take them all to the feet of the Blessed Sacrament when I am exposed or inside the tabernacles and pray for them." One day when Consolata was crying for their sins, Jesus said to her, "Cry for the betrayal of your brothers and sisters. I will join your tears to mine, and I will offer them to the Father to intercede for his forgiveness. But do not cry for you. I immolate you for all the souls in the universe, but your special mission is for your consecrated brothers and sisters." Another day, Jesus, talking to Venerable Consolata Patron about Judas Iscariot, said, "I loved him so much. He was one of mine. I have done everything to save him, but from his hardened heart I have not been able to get anything, not a single sign." Judas was the first ring in an endless chain that lasts for 20 centuries. "Consolata, if you give yourself as a victim and accept all the suffering, I will unite your passion to mine, your blood to mine, and I will offer it for them, traitors and apostates, and I will redeem them." "Consolata, should I condemn them all eternally? For my part, I am ready to forgive them and convert them as I have done with you. They can love me again, but a victim soul is necessary. Your brothers and sisters betray me with their vices, pride, greed, gluttony, ambition. They trample on their three holy vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.